What's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 88 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of The Sporting News, The Athletic, Bet Chicago, Cubs Insider, and the Cloud City Chronicle. In segment one, we'll look at what happened in the finale of the series against the Brewers. Then we'll discuss some of Joe Maddon's decision-making in segment two, which I know is all of your favorite topic, and around the NL Central as usual in segment three. So the Cubs got another excellent outing from Mike Montgomery yesterday. He allowed just a solo home run to Lorenzo Cain, throwing six innings and getting pulled for a pinch hitter despite having thrown just 78 pitches. The Cubs couldn't really get anything going against Julius Chacin, and by the time he was out of the game, it was Jeffress, Hader, Knebel, and done. It's important to remember that this Brewers team is actually pretty good. Now, obviously, they have the best record in the National League, and it's not a fluke at this point. I know a lot of fans thought, oh, this is an 85-win team. They'll fall off at some point. I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's going to happen. The Cubs beat up on the Brewers a lot early in the year, but Milwaukee has better pitching than many give them credit for. And losing two out of three in their home park isn't necessarily something to be ashamed of. Obviously, you want to win two out of three, but sometimes, you know, the other team plays better. All that said, getting shut out 2 days in a row is really frustrating. And if you take out the 11th inning on Monday where the Cubs burst out for five runs, they really scored two runs in 29 out of 30 innings of play. So that's not what you want. And the Cubs really weren't scoring all that well against the Pirates in their series there either. But they were able to pull out those games with really strong pitching. They scratched out just enough runs. This is one of those patented 2018 Cubs stretches where they don't score any runs. And hopefully now it's been going on long enough that the break today and heading down to St. Louis helps them turn it around. The Cardinals haven't exactly been playing really well. We'll talk a little bit about that in the final segment. But this is a big series for the Cubs, not only because they're playing their rival and a divisional series on the road. They have a 2.5 game edge on the Cardinals in the standings. And it would be nice if you could take two out of three and push that to 3.5 games and give yourself a little bit of space between the cards. So the Cubs are off today and they'll play that 3-game set in St. Louis Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are a couple of really good matchups here. John Lester will face Michael Wacha Friday night, then Carlos Martinez against Kyle Hendricks on Saturday, and Jose Quintana will pitch the final game of the series for the Cubs. And although there's no scheduled starter yet, that would be Jack Flaherty's turn in the rotation for St. Louis. If the Cardinals wanted to skip him, I think the next guy in line would be, I think, Miles Michaelis. So it could be Quintana against Michaelis or Flaherty in that game. It just depends on where the Cardinals want to go with their rotation. All right, let's go to segment two. So let me be the first to say that among the media that criticized Joe Maddon's decision-making in-game, I feel that I can stand toe-to-toe with anyone. I try to be fair and appropriate, of course. I know the view from local media, which is what I consider myself, is different than the view from outside media. A lot of the outside media don't like Joe Maddon and kind of roll their eyes at a lot of what he does and his philosophy, whereas locally, I think we get tied in a little bit more with what he does philosophy-wise with his team. A lot of the, you know, bringing in a petting zoo and all that stuff, which he really hasn't done this season, by the way. A lot of that stuff gets, you know, the eye roll from outside, but on the inside, it's just meant to keep the players loose and relaxed. It's not that he thinks bringing in flamingos is going to make the Cubs break out of a slump scoring runs. It's his process of keeping things fun, even in times where it's not so fun. So that said, I like to stand on a hill where I criticize Maddon's decision-making without trying to be too biased one way or the other. Sometimes he makes some really head-scratching calls. Let's just say it that way. I know a lot of fans and even some media get pretty upset about the shuffling of the lineup. But I actually see that as a necessity with this roster. You're not going to be able to set a regular starting eight and put them out in the same order every day. I leave them alone on that, minus the times when it gets truly wacky, I'll say something. But as far as setting the lineup and the way he puts the lineup together, by and large, I don't think that has a major effect on what the Cubs are doing on the field. Let me also say that I love his fearlessness. What he did with Steve Cishek and Brian Dunsing yesterday was awesome, rotating them in and out of left field to play the matchups on the mound. Not only did it work, but if it hadn't, it still would have been smart managing. I really liked that way of doing it. I don't think it can be done all the time, and really it set up right with the Brewers because you knew they were going to pinch hit with Eric Thames, and you could bring in the lefty. You knew they weren't going to pinch hit for Christian Yelich, so it made sense. But then there are times where I do get frustrated with Madden, as the rest of you do. I've let Game 7 of the World Series go because that was like 2 years ago at this point, right? But really, the Cubs won Game 7 in spite of Madden, not because of him. That's all I'm going to say on that. But he made some decisions in their 1-0 loss in Milwaukee that I think need to be called out to a degree. We've talked on this podcast before about the need for Madden to ease up on the bullpen a little bit. Several relievers are on pace for career highs in appearances, innings, or both. Poor Steve Cishek may have his arm fall off by August at this point. And while I just praised what he did with Cishek and Dunsing a minute ago, I think Mike Montgomery should have remained in the game. I get it. You're down 1-0 with the pitcher's spot coming up. But at that point, I'd rather get another inning out of my starter than take a shot with nobody on and one out with Addison Russell. Russell singled in place of Montgomery, of course, but he never moved off first base. And this isn't all about Montgomery. This is about the pen, too. In individual situations, saying, well, what's what? It's one inning. What's the big deal? That's totally fair. You're playing to win today's game, but when you're pulling a starter at 78 pitches or 87 pitches or 91 pitches after five or six innings constantly, and digging into your bullpen when your pitcher is rolling right along, that's a quick way to burn out your relievers. If you're going to pull Mike Montgomery at 78 pitches after six great innings in this game, I would expect that in other games, you're going to leave Kyle Hendricks in for an extra inning when he goes five with 87 pitches. Or you're going to let Jose Quintana finish out the sixth inning when he's gone 5 2/3 with 91 pitches. Those are things that I think need to be done. And if you're doing that, I can excuse pulling Montgomery at 78 after six innings in an attempt to win a game that you're trailing 1-0. But if you're not doing that, if you're not letting your other starters go longer, I really think those innings that you do bring in the bullpen where they don't necessarily have to be there, I do think that that's going to catch up to you in the long run. The other decision that's worth discussing is not pinch hitting with Chris Bryant in the ninth inning. There are two sides of this argument, and I get them both. I'm actually somewhat down the middle on this one. You've got Corey Knebel on the mound, one out, nobody on, down 1-0, with Chris Giménez at the plate. So, objectively, your worst hitting position player, and Chris Bryant is on the bench. This is a situation where a solo home run could tie it, or, you know, even a double or a single could give you a fighting chance with Wilson Contreras coming up next. Now, at the same time, you would plan to give Chris Bryant a day off, and that gives him two full days to relax and clear his mind going into Friday night's game in St. Louis. Bryant has been struggling for about a month. It's been a month to the day since he hit his last home run, and really it's been a major power outage for him, and it's been frustrating. He's even talked about how sometimes he'll go in the tunnel and like take a bat to the ground and just absolutely crush a baseball bat because he's so frustrated and he just doesn't want the fans and the media to see it. So I'm on board with giving him a full day off. Even if Bryant doesn't have to play in the field and only takes one at bat, pinch hitting him against Knebel and seeing him pop up weakly to the outfield or strike out, it kind of ruins the point of having him have the day off from a mental standpoint. So I do understand Madden's reasoning here. He's playing the long game with Bryant, keeping him out of a tough situation and letting him continue to clear his mind. No at-bats Wednesday, off day on Thursday as they travel from Milwaukee to St. Louis, and then ready to play in a big series on Friday. I understand how that kind of mental resetting can be really important, and that putting him in that situation really could have been setting him up for failure. And so I understand why Madden did it. But whether it's the right call or not doesn't make it any less painful to watch Chris Jimenez strike out while Bryant's on the bench. So this one is kind of a coin flip. It's a tough call. I will give Madden the benefit of the doubt there. Quickly, let's do our around the NL Central. The Brewers beat the Cubs, which means a 2-game losing streak for Chicago for the first time in about 3 weeks. That's something to be proud of. The Pirates squeaked by with a 5-4 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jameson Taillon went 7 innings and allowed just 2 earned runs for Pittsburgh. The Reds beat up on the Kansas City Royals 7-0. Our old friend Jason Hamill went 7 1/3 innings and allowed just 2 earned runs, but also took the loss. The Cardinals dropped their 2nd in a row to the San Diego Padres, losing that series, dropping 2 of 3. Luke Weaver allowed 4 earned runs in 5 1/3 innings. So here are the updated NL Central standings as of Thursday. The Brewers pushed their division lead to 1.5 games, now a National League best 41-27. The Cubs still have the 2nd best record in the NL at 38-27. The Cardinals are now 4 games back of first at 36-30. The Pirates are 8 games out of first place at 33-35, and the Reds are 16 out at 25-43. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. This has been episode 88 of Locked On Cubs, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I love the fact that I get to do this podcast and all the stuff that I get to do as a writer. I know that some of you that follow along may have seen that I mentioned on Twitter the other day that this has been somewhat of a trying season for me from my career goals. I lost my writing gig at FanRag Sports earlier this year, and that was really helping me with my forward momentum. I still have some really good things coming. Bet Chicago is very early in their process, and I believe in what they're doing, and I like I like what those guys have going on. I think that it's going to be a really good site, and that it's going to be a destination for Chicago readers to come find fantasy stuff, sports betting stuff, and really just the stuff that I write, just more traditional baseball coverage. So stick with us there. We're building something. But thank you again for everyone who reached out on Twitter, or people who texted me, people who sent me emails or direct messages. I'm doing fine. I've just had a frustrating series of events professionally that I haven't been totally transparent about or clear about for the sake of not throwing people under the bus, let's say. It really does help to hear encouraging words, to hear that you guys enjoy the podcast, to hear that you guys enjoy what I write, that you enjoy reading it. Even constructive criticism, it's always welcome if it's done in a constructive way. So thank you again, guys, for listening. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.